Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. It was Thanksgiving this week, and the exiles came out from the cities for the traditional Thanksgiving, whatever that may mean nowadays. And then on Thursday, this ice storm hit, and the roads became slick and slippery. And you had this scene, and house after house all around town, the mother, as the sun went down, saying, "It's awfully slippery out there, they say. Maybe you ought to just spend the night here." And the wife or husband, the spouse of the exiled child, standing behind the mother, shaking their head. No, I think we'll head out on the road, Mom. We'll be just fine," said the exile. "Well, I would feel a lot better if you would stay. We have a lot of bedrooms. All of your beds are still upstairs, and you can hear a hissing sound behind the mother." No. And they went on the road. They braved death rather than stay. Says something. I don't know what. I don't judge. They came for a short time, and that was good enough for them. It's a beautiful, beautiful holiday. The feast is the least of it, really. Pumpkin. No, it's all the leading up to it. It's a beautiful. People loved the church service. It's a joint service between the Lutherans and the Catholics. So this year, it was the Catholics' turn. It was held up at Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility. And big Lutheran contingent came in and all sat together in the back where Lutherans would ordinarily sit. And just looking at all the statuary and the gaze of the saints looking at you and the Blessed Virgin standing up there in her little chapel looking at you with mercy, or is it pity? What, hard to figure out. The Blessed Virgin, she stood there, and they read through the gospel, and Pastor Liz read the gospel, which was Jesus' sermon to his disciples, the "Don't Worry" sermon. Don't worry about it. Think not what ye shall eat or what ye shall wear. The life is more than meat and drink. The body is more than raiment. Your Father in heaven, who knows you have need of these things, will see to you. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. There are more important things, which nobody believes, but it still is good to hear. It's good to hear. And then Father Wilmer read the long list of things that people are grateful for. They had passed little slips of paper up to him, and they were thankful for freedom, you know, and democracy. And they were grateful for friends and family and for butt warmers as well. And they were grateful for cell phones, which he misread as cellophane. And did not correct himself. And they sang, "Nun dunket alle Gott," and they sang, "Oh, what a beautiful morning," and they sang, "Where the air is so pure and the zephyrs so free and the breezes so balmy and light, I would not exchange my home on the range for all of the cities so bright," although people have been exchanging Lake Wobegon for big cities for 100 years nonetheless. They sang it, and they all went home 43 minutes flat out the door. It was good. It was good. It was good. And they went home to the dinner, whatever it was, pumpkin. And but it's all that's leading up the conversation, the people in a sociable mood. Down at the Bon Marché Beauty Salon Wednesday, crowded with women, older women who have now turned things over to daughters and daughters-in-law who for 30 years have not been allowed to touch anything so much as mix dough in a bowl. But now they have the whole thing to themselves. Women suddenly tacked to starboard, and they are down at the Bon Marché and Luann is doing their hair, and Lois is doing nails, and her niece Denise is doing facials. And when you have all three together, it makes an hour that you can sit there, and they put hot towels on you, and they give you a shoulder massage. It's so beautiful. It's like church, except the conversation is free-ranging because there are no men there. And so women talk about exercise, they talk about yoga, they talk about places on their body where they've never had a pimple. They talk about all sorts of things they would never talk about if men were there. They got started on the subject of food poisoning, and that was fascinating. They could all remember incidents where something they were responsible for was responsible for projectile vomiting. Among a people who are very shy about bodily functions and would do anything to avoid vomiting, they would lie for days in a dim room with a cold compress on their foreheads if they could. They remembered all these wonderful, wonderful stories. Arlene Bunsen remembered when she got the Indian cookbook, No Worry Curry, from her daughter-in-law, and she looked at it. She didn't actually make anything until that Thanksgiving, and she thought, why not? They're coming up for Thanksgiving. I'll show them that I used it, that I valued this. And so she made all these interesting dishes, and the smell of coriander in the kitchen, and ginger and garlic, and also smoke, quite a bit of it. And the smell of wine, Arlene really got into the wine in the course of making this Thanksgiving dinner. She brought it out to the table, and it was all looked kind of crushed and broken. There was tandoori turkey. She wasn't too sure about it. She'd been kind of tossing things into it at the last minute. She set it down, and the blessing was quickly said, and then they started in to eat. People went through two pitchers of water in about 1 minute flat. It just seemed to get hotter the more you ate. It just sort of increased and increased geometrically. And people who you never ever heard gas come out of suddenly were producing billows of gas. Clarence went in the bathroom, and he was there for 15 minutes, and when he came back out, he said, I don't recommend anybody go in there right now. You got to take my word on this. Her sister-in-law, Irene Bunsen, remembered making pumpkin cocktails, pureed pumpkin cocktails, and they sat in the kitchen, and they were a little bit close to the stove, which was on, and she didn't think about it. And then she mixed it up with vodka and served them up to 22 people standing outside on the deck. It was a very warm Thanksgiving. And she didn't think about it until all at once, 23 people turned to the left, leaned forward. It was like a Technicolor choir. Painful, but memorable nonetheless. They sat there in the Bon Marché Beauty Salon with hot towels around them and looking out the window, and they could see Clint Bunsen over across the alley and just up a little hill towards the Lutheran Church. And he was in his backyard. The sun was just going down, and he had violet Christmas bulbs on strings and strings of them wound around his neck, and he was climbing up a ladder to put them up on the roof. Irene got them from the mercantile. She'd been looking at them for 3 years as the price has gradually been reduced. And finally it came down to a point where she could buy it. She never cared for the color violet, but there they are. And he was putting them up at last. And he was walking on an icy roof, And they all watched him as Irene was telling her story about the time that her brother came for Thanksgiving and he reached into the turkey to taste the stuffing before the turkey was done. And he came down with a nasty case of salmonella. And he never, ever ate dressing ever again after that. Not that it's a great deprivation. And she remembered the time when the turkey needed to be defrosted and there wasn't room for it anywhere in the refrigerator. And so Clint said, well, we'll put it in the car. It's warm out there. So they put it in the front seat of the car. And that was the night that the freezing rain fell. So Thanksgiving morning, he went out and he couldn't thaw out the locks on the doors. And he couldn't loosen anything. He hit it with his elbow over and over. And finally, he got the hood up. They were all listening to the story about Clint as they watched him up on the roof hanging strings of violet Christmas lights under the eaves and then following the roof line up and down and around the chimney. He got into the trunk of the car and he managed to force his way into the back seat and he picked up the turkey and he opened the door, the passenger door, with his shoulder. He banged it open, and just at that moment, he slipped, and he stood there balanced on the very edge of the roof, and his arms were windmilling back, back, back. He was like a circus performer. They watched him secretly. They hoped he would fall, but he did not fall. He got his balance. And then he edged towards the roof. Irene was galloping up towards the house, not to rescue him, but to tell him that that string of Christmas lights was crooked. She was galloping up there, and he saw her coming, and he was distracted, and he slipped on the ice, and he hung onto the gutter with one elbow and his right foot. He hung on. Big circles of violet Christmas bulbs around his neck, and then one whole string of them went out, a whole string of lights. It was an old-fashioned Christmas light string, the kind where if one bulb goes bad, all of them go out. And now you have to unscrew each one and put in a fresh bulb to find out where the burnt out one is. People saw him doing this as he was hanging onto the gutter, as his wife was chewing him out from down on the ground. 100 people saw this, and everyone was thankful that that man was not them. They were not on a roof trying to bring joy and beauty into the world and cursing under your breath. No, sir. So it's slippery out there. Drive carefully. It's a good time of year to sit by candlelight. Everything is better by candlelight. You know that. Sit by candlelight. Bake a little bread. Listen to some choirs on the radio and write a letter to somebody on a piece of paper with a pen, somebody who would appreciate that. It's that time of year. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, all the children are above average.